This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي أما بعد All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this beautiful blessed gathering in the house of Allah to learn more about Allah and the Messenger of Allah and the Prophets and Messengers of Allah. And we've been talking about Prophet Musa alayhi salam for the last few weeks. And tonight is the fifth lesson on Musa alayhi salam, this great Prophet and Messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent. Or fourth lesson on Musa alayhi salam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to Bani Israel. And Musa alayhi salam was from Bani Israel himself. And we spoke about the upbringing of Musa alayhi salam and the tests that his mother went through, and how Musa alayhi salam grew up in the household of Fir'aun. And then Musa alayhi salam went through a test in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him with. And that was when he entered the city and he pushed someone, and that push ended up to kill this person. And then Musa alayhi salam fled to Madian, and he stayed in Madian. And then we spoke about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Musa alayhi salam in the care of Shu'aib alayhi salam, where Musa alayhi salam gets married to the daughter of Shu'aib, and he stays there for 10 years after he had agreed. This is where we stopped at last week. So Musa alayhi salam lives in Madian, 10 years. 10 years in Madian. After he had agreed, either 8 or 10 years to work for his father-in-law, in return that he gets married to his wife. And Musa alayhi salam completed that years in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked about that question, and it shows the character of Musa alayhi salam, a perfect character of a perfect human being, if you want to call it, with the best of manners and morals. And when we say perfection, obviously perfection is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but perfection to what is implied within mankind. وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنَ شُقَّ عَلَيْكَ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ قَالَ ذَلِكَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ أَيَّامَ الْأَجَلَيْنِ قَضَيْتُ فَلَا عُدْوَانَ عَلَيْهِ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى مَا نَقُولُ وَكِيلٌ So that was the agreement between Musa alayhi salam and Shu'aib. Minimum 8, up to you if you want to complete 10. Musa alayhi salam completed 10. And after 10 years of Musa alayhi salam being in hiding, where Musa alayhi salam got married, he got older, he's got kids, family, obviously his face and his face appearance start to change, getting older, more grey hairs. So after 10 years, Musa alayhi salam saw the need of him going back to Egypt. He left behind his mother, his sister, his brother, other family members. These people are in confusion. Is he still alive or dead? Is he still alive or not dead? Sometimes you'd rather know someone that's dead than not knowing if this person is alive or dead. And I've experienced some families, sometimes some of their family members go overseas or go somewhere. They don't even know if they're alive or dead. They'd rather know and have the acknowledgement that he's dead than just being stuck in between whether he's alive or dead. So Musa alayhi salam decided after 10 years of serving his father-in-law as part of a contract of him getting married to his daughter, his father-in-law's daughter, which is his wife, Musa alayhi salam decided to go back to Egypt. And it was a good time. After 10 years, obviously his face has changed. The soldiers and the Egyptian authorities won't be after him as they were 10 years before that. And for him to go and engage with his mom and speak to his mother and go and reunite himself with his mother, his sister, his brother, and other family members. فَلَمَّا قَضَى مُوسَى الْأَجَلِ وَسَارَ بِأَهْلِهِ آنَسَ مِنْ جَانِبِ طُورِ نَارَ So Musa alayhi salam travels from Madian, which is in Palestine, towards Egypt. Along the way, obviously we're not talking about a few hours, they used to travel for months. They didn't have transportations the way we have these days, cars or trains or even planes. They used to have old transportations, if not, like when I say old transportation, we're talking about horses, camels. Allah alam, if Musa alayhi salam had any of that, he was probably traveling by foot all the way from Madian to Egypt. And the roads were paved. So you and your luck, how you find your way there. They had their ways, they had their intelligence, they had their customs back then, how they get directions, they look in the stars, okay, it is towards the north, east, west, south, whatever it is. Musa alayhi salam with his wife, his family, nothing that I have which is authentic that says that he had boys, girls, but 100% he had his family with him, that includes his wife, maybe children. Along the way from Madian to Egypt, traveling through the desert of Sinai, what we know as Sinai, which is that little island that you see that connects between Africa and Asia. It's not an island, it connects the two together, but it looks like an island, it looks like Tasmania for some reason. But anyway, it's Sinai connects Africa to Asia, which also connects Palestine to Egypt. Musa alayhi salam with his family traveling along the desert of Sinai. While Musa alayhi salam and his wife and his family are traveling, they had obviously whatever they needed to carry with them, whatever animals they had. Did they have sheep? Did they have goats? Did they have cattle? Did they have camels? Did they have horses? Allahu alam. But Musa alayhi salam, during his journey, he got lost. And during a very cold night, Musa alayhi salam and his family settled and they're trying to light a fire. It's cold, they need a fire. Fire for them to warm themselves and fire for them to guide themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted in one way or another, when Musa alayhi salam is trying to light a fire and the fire is not getting turned on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, Anasa min janib al-turi nara. From the corner of his eye, Musa alayhi salam glimpsed a fire. So you could imagine, stuck in the middle of the desert during a cold night, trying to turn on a fire and the fire is not getting turned on, and then from the corner of his eye he sees fire. It captivated his attention. So Musa alayhi salam turned around and he saw a fire on a peak of a mountain from a distance. So obviously Musa alayhi salam is in a position, he's exploring, he wants to see what's happening that far. So he's not going to take the entire family there and then there's nothing there, then they're going to go back. So he told his family, Inni anastu nara la'alli atikum minha biqabasin la'allakum tastalun. Or in other verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this verse in many different ways, but gives the same meaning, it implies the same meaning. Inna anastu nara la'alli atikum biqabasin la'allakum tastalun aw ajidu 'ala an-nar huda. In a different verse, he told his family, stay here, let me go and check this fire. Maybe I'll find someone there that can guide us, or maybe I'll get fire from this fire. At least I'll get you some fire that we're trying to turn on fire all this time to warm ourselves, to guide us. So he kept his family where they were, and Musa alayhi salam went where he saw the direction of that fire is at. فَلَمَّا أَتَاهَا. Now I want you to imagine this scene. Musa alayhi salam is on his own, left his family behind during a very cold night, where he tried to turn on a fire and no fire was getting turned on. And obviously we're human beings, how do you turn on a fire? Fire is usually within wood, timber. When Musa alayhi salam left his family behind and then he went to the mountain, to the peak of the mountain, one mountain there, Allah alam wa riz, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to it as the mountain of Tuwa, or the area of Tuwa in Sinai. Musa alayhi salam climbs the mountain, he reaches to the peak of that mountain where the fire was at. He sees an amazing scene, didn't even expect that. Musa alayhi salam sees fire right in the middle of a tree. How does that work? Usually you can't do something like that, because if there's fire in the middle of a tree, it burns the entire tree down. But that was the first indication that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to send to Musa alayhi salam. That first shock, because right now Musa alayhi salam is going to be extremely shocked. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him small dosages of that shock. Slowly. The first one is for him to see a fire right in the middle of a tree, in the middle of a trunk of a tree, which is unusual, it's impossible. If there's fire in the middle of the tree, it burns the entire tree down. So Musa alayhi salam arrives to Al-Wadi Al-Muqaddas Al-Tuwa, which is a sacred place that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Quran Kareem. And Musa alayhi salam is there, he is shocked. and astonished by what he saw. He saw a fire right in the middle of a tree. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon Musa. فَلَمَّا أَتَاهَا When Musa alayhi salam arrived and reached to that fire, in which it was a fire in the middle of a trunk of a tree. نُودِيَ Musa, Allah called upon Musa. إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّكَ I am your Lord. فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ Take off your shoe. Take off your slippers. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُوَى You are in the sacred valley of Wadi al-Muqaddasi Tuwa, the sacred valley of Tuwa. وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى Oh Musa, I had chosen you. So listen to exactly what I'm saying to you. إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهِ I am your Lord Allah. لا إله إلا أنا There is no deity, there is no God except me. فَاعْبُدْنِي Worship me alone. وَأَقِمْ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي And perform the prayers to always remember me. Establish the prayers to always remember me. إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى The day of judgment is coming. And that day shall emerge for every soul to be judged and to be accountable. فَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكَ عَنْهَا مَنْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَتَرْضَى Don't let those who don't believe in me or believe in the day of judgment to block you or to tear you away from worshipping me and following my guidance. So subhanAllah, I want you to imagine that scene. I can't say put yourself in the shoes of Musa alayhi salam, but imagine that scene that you resorted to that tree on a peak of that mountain, leaving your family behind, hoping that you're going to get some fire back to warm your family, for guidance, for light, and then you are struck by this message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unexpected message in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you see fire in the middle of a trunk of a tree, and then Allah azza wa jalla speaks to you. But you know what? It's possible, maybe someone is hiding behind the tree. Maybe someone's trying to pull your leg. Maybe someone's trying to fool you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to comfort Musa alayhi salam. To know that the one that's addressing him is Allah azza wa jal. It's not Allah, it's someone with a bit of loud voice that's trying to attract you and to captivate your attention. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى What's this thing that you are carrying with your right, O Musa? He says, قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا وَأَهُشُّ بِهَا عَلَىٰ غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى He said, Oh Allah, this is my stick. This is my staff. I carry it. I use it to direct my flock on my herd. And I also use it to lean on it, to depend on it, and I use it for other things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, Alqiha ya Musa, cast it, throw it. Falamma alqaha fa'idha hiya hayyatun tas'a. Musa alayhi salam threw it as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructing to do so. What happened to that stick? It turns into a huge snake, not a small snake, a massive snake that Musa alayhi salam ran off. He ran away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him, وَلَّا مُدْبِرًا وَلَمْ يُعَقِّبْ He ran! Allah told him, come back! The reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that to him, one of the reasons, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reasons, to comfort Musa, no one's trying to pull off, no one's trying to pull your leg here. No one's trying to fool you or someone behind the tree that's calling and screaming, oh, this and that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to prove to Musa alayhi salam that yes, it's Allah, and look what I can do. Can anyone do that? Let's say it's someone behind the tree and is calling and he told to throw that stick and it's going to turn into a snake. Can some human being do that? No one can do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to comfort him. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, put your hand under your arm, through your garment and see what happens. Musa alayhi salam had a tan, dark color skin. So he put his hand under his arm, took it out, it was glowing like light. Musa alayhi salam got shocked. Obviously he's gonna get shocked as a human being. Like he looked at it like, you know, is this normal? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, this is normal. Yes, don't worry. It's not sickness or disease or illness. Put it under your arm again and see what happens. He put it under his arm, took it out, came back to normal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also makes mention of this in the Quran Kareem. فَلَمَّا أَتَاهَا نُودِيَ مِنْ شَاطِئِ الْوَادِ الْأَيْمَنِ فِي الْبُقْعَةِ الْمُبَارَكَةِ مِنَ الشَّجَرَةِ أَنْ يَا مُوسَى إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When Musa reached to the tree, when he alayhi salam reached to that tree and he saw what he saw with his own eyes, fire right in the middle of a tree, right in the middle of the trunk of the tree, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he was caught from the right hand side of the blessed valley. فِي الْبُقْعَةِ الْمُبَارَكَةِ مِنَ الشَّجَرَةِ أَيَّا مُوسَى إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Oh Musa, it's me, I am the Lord of the universe. Subhanallah, just you know, when you really think about it, what an amazing scene. Who made that happen? Allah. Who guarded Musa alayhi salam to that tree? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa was trying to lit on a fire and he couldn't, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him glimpse fire from the corner of his eye that he went on his own. Allah didn't want to bring his family. Allah wanted Musa alayhi salam on his own. He reached out and he saw that amazing scene. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks directly to Musa alayhi salam. And Musa alayhi salam is known as Kalimullah, the one that speaks to Allah directly. And some of the scholars say, no prophet had ever spoken to Allah the way Musa alayhi salam had spoken to Allah, like in the number of times. That doesn't mean other prophets and messengers didn't speak to Allah. Even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had spoken to Allah. But Musa alayhi salam specifically, Allah gave him more opportunities for him to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls upon Musa alayhi salam and he tells him, I am your Lord. And I am the only Lord in this universe. What do you have in your right? I've got a stick. Throw it, it turned into a snake. The scholars describe that snake. It's not your typical snake, few meters and that. Some of the narrations say, probably the longest snake that ever existed on the face of this earth. Something beyond the imagination. In which that stick, normal stick, normal stuff, you throw it, turns into a snake. Okay, what are we going to do? Am I going to carry a snake around my neck and walk around? And put a circus show on people? What do you do here? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, O Musa, خُذْهَا وَلَا تَخَفْ. O Musa, grab this stick, or original stick, grab this snake. Now Musa alayhi salam, he was so petrified, so scared when he saw the snake, he ran off. Allah even mentions that, وَلَا مُدِّرَ وَلَا مِعَقَبْ. He ran, he didn't even look behind. Look at the description that Allah describes in the Quran Kareem. He ran off. And he didn't even look behind. وَلَمْ يُعَقَّبْ. Allah called him, come back and grab it now. وَلَا تَخَفْ. And then be scared. You know what? That's a hard one. What do you mean grab it and then be scared? Well, you know what? That's exactly what we've done to your mom. Put him in a basket and throw him in that river. And then be scared. Subhanallah. From the surface, you see, things are very petrifying. Very scary. But when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala organizes things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees matters in a way that suits His glory and majesty, in a way that you see from the outside, impossible, but all the possibility ain't there. See this snake that you are running away from? Not only come back, but grab it. And some narrations even say Allah commanded him to grab it from its head, which is the most scariest part. And see what happens. Ya Musa, aqbil wa la takhaf, innaka min al-aminin. Oh Musa, come back, don't be scared. Grab it, khudha wa la takhaf. Sanu'iduha siratha al-ula. We're going to bring it back the way it was. So Musa alayhi salam, depending on Allah Azza wa Jal, he grabs that snake and returns back to being a stick. Wa la takhaf. Subhanallah. I just want you to imagine the iman boost. Non-prophet to prophet within minutes. It was a An angel that was speaking to Musa alayhi salam, a messenger on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did with a lot of prophets and messengers, no, directly from Allah to Musa alayhi salam. Did Musa see Allah? No. No prophet, no messenger, no human being, no angel, no creation of Allah will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya, including Musa alayhi salam. وَضْمُمْ إِلَيْكَ جَنَاحَكَ مِنَ الرَّهْبِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in different verses. I know we've mentioned and quoted a number of verses because there's a number of different verses in the Quran al-Kareem that speak about the same event. Oh Musa, put your hand under your arm, you see what happens. Put it back again and you see what happens. First time he puts it, comes out glowing like a light, like a lamp. Puts it and takes it out and it goes back to normal. It glows like a full-on lamp. Oof. Allahu Akbar, light. But not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Kareem, this is to comfort you. Every time he used to put his hand under his arm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to give him that comfort. Because you could imagine it's like a very, very scary moment. It's a big shock. A shock wave came through the mind of Musa alayhi salam in his heart. Lucky that he stood. Stayed standing, otherwise people will collapse when they see something like that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted him. Slowly. Allah gave him comfort over comfort. وَضْمُمْ إِلَيْكَ جَنَاحَكَ مِنَ الرَّهْبِ. Or Musa, when you put your hand under your arm, it's a comfort for you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَذَانِكَ بُرْهَانَانِ مِنْ رَبِّكَ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَائِهِ إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا فَاسِقِينَ. You have a mission offer, Musa. Musa, you have a mission. What's your mission? For you to go to Fir'aun, this man that claims to be the Lord of the universe, for you to go and talk to him and save Bani Israel. It's time to save Bani Israel. And we've given you two proof and evidence. So you're not going to walk into the palace of Fir'aun empty-handed. You're going to walk in with something. Because the first thing that someone will say, okay, give me the proof and evidence. Where's the proof and evidence that you belong to this or you are part of this? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consolidated and strengthened and empowered Musa alayhi salam with those two miracles. لِنُرِيَكَ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا الْكُبْرَى. This to show you the great signs of ours. اِذْهَبْ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَى. Go to Fir'aun. Go and call Fir'aun. He had transgressed. He went beyond all boundaries. Not only that he is causing corruption and he's oppressing Bani Israel, on the top of all this, he's oppressing himself by saying that he is the Lord of the universe. What right, what authority does he have for him to say he's the Lord of the universe? اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. Musa alayhi salam, he's the one that I'm trying to run away from. Now you want me to go back to him? Musa alayhi salam is going back to Egypt to go and see his mother and his brothers and sisters. And the last thing that he wants on his plate now is to go to the one that he's been running away for the last 10 years. But now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to go and stand in front of Fir'aun. اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. So Musa alayhi salam, that's it. All the signs, all the miracles, all the indications, that the one that's speaking to him is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no doubt. Maybe at the beginning he did have that doubt. He's a human being at the end of the day. Musa alayhi salam is a human being. Maybe he had that doubt. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proved everything to him. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have to. But we're human beings at the end of the day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him all the signs and miracles that the one that he's speaking to is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now does Musa alayhi salam have any choice? He doesn't have a choice. اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى. So Musa alayhi salam now obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Musa alayhi salam looks at his situation. There's few things that he needs to discuss. Ya Rab, I want to do the best job. قَالَ رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. The first thing that Ya Allah I ask you is for you to comfort my heart. Open my heart, strengthen me. You know my position, I'm in a vulnerable position. I'm in a very weak position. Not physically weak, but I've run away from Fir'aun. Now I'm going to go back to him. How's that? He looks at me as a criminal. He looks at me as someone who caused big corruption on earth. So, رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Ya Allah, comfort my heart. Give me that boost, strengthen me. You know that moral motivation that you need sometimes? That self-confidence? You need that self-empowerment? رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي. Ya Allah, make it easy on me. It's not an easy task. As you know, Ya Allah, it's not, wallah, just walk in the park. You know, there's an uphill battle. يَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي, Ya Allah, make it easy for me. On the top of all this, وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. Ya Allah, you know, I stutter a lot. And Musa alayhi salam had a very strong personality on him. He had a very strong personality on him. He was very, very assertive person. But he used to stutter. Some narrations say that when Fir'aun or the palace of Fir'aun picked him up, Fir'aun wanted to test him if he's going to take the rock or the egg or cheese, or, you know, the whole story goes into an entire restaurant. I don't know what it is. And then he chose the coal. And it, because of that, it caused stutter on his tongue. None of this is true. He said, رَبِّ شَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِلْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي. Ya Allah, I stutter. And if I'm going to stand in front of Fir'aun, obviously when you come as a leader, one of the things that give a leader credibility is the power of speech. So Musa alayhi salam understood that. If he's going to stand in front of Fir'aun and he's going to call him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Fir'aun will start looking down at him and say, you can't even speak. What should we even listen to you? So he said, وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي. Ya Allah, make it easy on me when I speak. Release this stutter on my tongue. يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. At least when I speak, they understand me. You want me to convey a message? So I want to convey this message from you correctly. وَجْعَلْنِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي هَارُونَ أَخِشْدُدْ بِهِ أَزْرِي وَأَشْرِكُهُ فِي أَمْرِي. On the top of all this, Ya Allah, strengthen me with someone. Make my brother Harun to be my assistant. Subhanallah, he interceded and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make Harun alayhi salam, before Harun alayhi salam was a prophet and messenger, he asked Allah, Ya Allah, make Harun to be my assistant. By the time Musa alayhi salam arrived to Egypt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to Harun, and Harun is already a prophet and messenger that knew of the mission that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already set them, and he set him and Musa alayhi salam for. Aisha says, the greatest intercession of any human being to another human being is the intercession of Musa to Harun. When Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make Harun his assistant, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Harun to be a prophet and messenger. You can't get a greater promotion than this. A higher position and status than this. The highest position and status on the face of this earth. Prophet and messenger. Harun became a prophet because of Musa alayhi salam. وَاجْعَلْنِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي هَارُونَ أَخِشْدْ بِهِ أَزْرِي وَأَشْرِكْهُ فِي أَمْرِي. At least I have someone to depend on, to rely on. كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا. Someone will remember you. Rather than just me remembering you, it's me and my brother. وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا. And we invoke you together. إِنَّكَ كُنْتَ بِنَا بَصِيرًا. Ya Allah, you could see everything that we do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right away responds to Musa alayhi salam. قَالَ قَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. Whatever he asked for had happened. Some scholars say that very moment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Harun alayhi salam. قَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ. That's it. What he asked for had happened. You want comfort in your heart? We comfort you. Make things easy for you? We'll make it easy for you. You want your brother to be your assistant? Done. Finished. Accomplished. Some scholars say that very second Harun alayhi salam received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in order for someone to become a prophet, they need to receive notice from Allah azza wa jal. Notice of appointment. That very second happened. قَدْ أُوتِيتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى وَلَقَدْ مَنَنَّا عَلَيْكَ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى. Subhanallah. Amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds Musa alayhi salam, this is not the only first time. It's not the first time that we bless you with a blessing like this. Don't forget the blessing that we've done to you and your mother. When your mom was under a lot of threat, And she was said, protective Abby, we guarded her to put you in that basket, in that chest. And we guarded her to cast you in that river. And we are the ones that guarded the river to take you to the shores of the palace of Fir'aun. And we are the ones that took care of you. And we are the ones that sent your sister to you. And we are this and we are that. Allah is reminding Musa alayhi salam of Allah's blessings on us. So the blessings of Allah didn't just start right now. We've been blessing you, and we're blessing your family from the very beginning. The blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not just start now, they've been there from the beginning that you came into this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to Musa alayhi salam and to Harun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that in the Quran Kareem. أَرْسِلْهُ مَعِيَ رِدْءًا وَأَخِي هَارُونَ هُوَ أَفْصَحُ مِنِّي لِسَانًا. And please, O Allah, send Harun with me because he speaks better than me, he's more eloquent, not in speech but pronunciation. Musa alayhi salam had a very heavy stutter on his tongue. فَأَرْسِلْهُ مَعِيَ رِدْءًا. Send Harun alayhi salam to be with me as a support. يُصَدِّقُنِي إِنِّي أَخَافَ أَنْ يُكَذِّبُونَ. I'm afraid that when I speak, they misunderstand me or they turn on me. قَالَ سَنَشُدُّ عَضُدَكَ بِأَخِيكَ وَنَجْعَلُ لَكُمَا سُلْطَانًا فَلَا يَصِلُونَ إِلَيْكُمَا بِآيَاتِنَا أَنْتُمَا وَمَنْ تَبَعَكُمَا الْغَالِبُونَ. We'll support you with your brother. We'll make him a prophet like you. Not only just an assistant prophet. So when you get revelation, he gets revelation. You and him on the same page. We'll support you. On the top of all this, we'll protect you. Don't worry. Whatever they attempt to do, whatever plan or plot they try and do, we're going to protect you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is already mentioned to Musa alayhi salam and to Harun, even though they're in a position of weakness in front of Fir'aun. Fir'aun has an empire, has an army. He has power. Whatever you see from him, nothing will ever happen to you. Look at these assurances from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guarantees from Allah azza wa jal. Whatever you're going to encounter, whatever you're going to see from Fir'aun, don't think he could do anything to you. فَلَا يَصِلُونَ إِلَيْكُمَا. From the very beginning, don't even think that Fir'aun can even touch you or even lay a finger on you. Even if he threatens you, even if he does this, even if that, I'm telling you from now, nothing's going to happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given guarantees to Musa and Harun, don't be scared. Nothing would ever happen to you. I'm protecting you. Ikhwan, yes, we're heather, but at the end of the day, we all believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching, but we still disobey Allah. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening, we still disobey Allah. Talk, believe, but at the end of the day, it's practice, implementation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا يَصِلُونَ إِلَيْكُمَا. No matter what they try and do, no matter what they attempt to do, no matter what they plan, they can't harm you. You are protected by me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأْتِيَا فِرْعَوْنَ فَقُولَ إِنَّا رَسُولُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Go to Fir'aun and call him and say to him that you are the prophets and the messengers of Allah. That's the mission. And أَرْسِلْ مَعْنَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Go to Fir'aun and tell him that he's not the Lord of the universe, this is the Lord of the universe, that's me, Allah. And you have a mission that you need to free Bani Israel, the children of Israel, from Fir'aun. Because you remember what I mentioned to you a few lessons back, that Fir'aun had enslaved Bani Israel. They were being persecuted and tortured by Fir'aun and his army. And look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem. اِذْهَبْ إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ طَغَى. Go to Fir'aun, he had transgressed. He had oppressed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرَ أَوْ يَخْشَى. This is amazing, huh? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs Musa alayhi salam about his tone, his approach to Fir'aun. Like he's coming, he's going to go and sit and he's going to come across someone. Not only that this person is a very bad person, he's an oppressor, he's an unjust person, but he claims to be the Lord of the universe, like the worst of crimes that you could ever think of. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa and Harun, when you approach Fir'aun, make sure that you are soft on your approach with him. Just because he's a transgressor, just because he's an oppressor, just because he's a criminal, just because he's a fake god, it doesn't mean you're going to speak to him rudely. And he can't get anyone worse than Fir'aun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Musa and Harun, the greatest people standing on the face of this earth back then. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands Musa as a prophet, Harun as a prophet. When you approach Fir'aun, be soft in your approach. Be respectful. Be easy. Subhanallah, Fir'aun. These days, you've got some of the brothers so strict, they want to talk. When they talk, they want to fight everyone. They want to take everyone down. It's like you're scum, you're this, you're that. You go into the hellfire, Jahannam wa bi'sal masir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands a prophet and another prophet, two prophets and messengers. When you approach Fir'aun, speak to him gently. Speak to him nicely. Why? Da'wah is about gentleness. Da'wah is about softness. Da'wah, it's about wisdom. It's not, wallahi, I'm on the haq, you're on the battle, that's it. All at war. No, no, no. This is Fir'aun, the worst of people on the face of this earth. And this is Musa and Harun, the best of people on the face of this earth. And Allah tells him, when you approach him gently. قُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا. When you speak to him softly, nicely. That doesn't mean, wallahi, you compromise. See, this is the thing that a lot of people connect to. Ah, the moment you speak to someone nicely, especially when this person is maybe anti-Islam, anti-Muslims, anti-faith, are you compromising? How do you connect the two together? When Musa alayhi salam was commanded by Allah Azza wa Jal and Harun to go and speak to Fir'aun gently, is that a compromise? No, it's not. But that's the da'wah. That's the approach that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to have. When we speak to people nicely. When we approach people, approach them nicely. This is the da'wah. Just because you've got the haq and you believe in the haq, it doesn't mean, wallahi, you could start taking everyone down. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرَ وَيَخْشَى. Maybe he'll remember Allah, maybe he'll fear Allah, maybe he'll turn around. The worst of people that we have on the face of this earth, the most anti-Muslims on the face of this earth, I wish Islam for them. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa and Harun to Fir'aun, maybe this person will turn around when Allah knows what exactly Fir'aun is going to do. This is a lesson for us to learn. Something for us to learn. Never give up hope on anyone. We wish Islam for everyone. You don't know whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide. The worst of people, the biggest anti-Muslims that you've got on the face of this earth, we wish Islam for them. We wish guidance. That's my responsibility. A Muslim doesn't have that hostile and hatred in his heart that just because someone disagrees with him, but say we want to take him down. This is the thuggish mentality, this is the gangster world. And we're talking about the da'wah world. The da'wah world, we wish it stand for everyone. And that's why when you read this verse about Musa and Harun and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Musa and Harun to go to the worst of people on the face of this earth, Fir'aun, speak to him gently, nicely, with nice words. Maybe he'll change. Maybe he'll turn back. He doesn't know whom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide. Didn't they say about Umar ibn Khattab? Umar ibn Khattab will never become a Muslim until his donkey becomes a Muslim. And later on, if there's a prophet to be after me, it would have been Umar. Subhanallah. Don't give up hope. Don't be despondent just because, wallahi, someone's so anti-Islam and Muslims, Allah will change. How many people that we know of that was so anti-Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them to be the most pro-Islam? This is the character of a true mu'min, a true believer. Wants Islam for everyone, even to the worst of enemies of Islam. اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى فقول له قولا لينا لعله يتذكر ويخشى. Speak to him nicely and gently. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe he'll change. So now Musa alayhi salam is on a mission. What's his mission? To face Fir'aun. The one that he's been running away from is the one that he needs to go to. And his main mission is to save Bani Israel from the tyranny and the oppression of Fir'aun. So now the entire agenda and itinerary of Musa alayhi salam changes. He's going back to Egypt to go and see his mother and his brothers and sisters. But now, you're not going back to Egypt to go and see your mother and your brothers and sisters. You can do that on the side, but now you're going on a different agenda now. You're going as a prophet and messenger. And you need to face the most powerful man standing on the face of this earth, who's also the most anti Islam on the face of this earth who's also after your head. Subhanallah, you know, when we hear those stories, we then calculate them. You know, it's like easy, you know, it's like when you go into a building, oh, what's the heart of a building that? It's all, you know, just, you know, a walk in the park. Oh, I could do that. I'll go and do whatever you want. It's like, how easy is it for you to go and eat the nice food after your mum or your wife or your family member has been cooking it for the last 3-4 hours? Yeah, he goes down, so he's, oh, nice, this and that. But, you know, a lot of time and effort was gone into this. So a lot of the times when we hear the stories of prophets and messengers, we don't really calculate them properly, you know. We just look at, oh, nice story. You know, there's a lot of sacrifice here. Huge sacrifices. So now Musa alayhi salam returns back to his wife and his family are waiting for him in the middle of the darkness, in the middle of the night, in cold condition, leaves as a husband, comes back as a prophet and messenger. What a huge transformation. And Nina goes back to his wife, what? We've changed everything. What do you mean? I'm the prophet and the messenger of Allah. Allah, convince her. In which I'm sure it was very easy for Musa alayhi salam to convince his wife, like Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi said, Allah revealed to me, she knows her husband. She knows her husband. He's not someone that can pull off a joke, or someone that can pull the leg of someone else, or someone that can, or someone that does lie. Husband and wife, they know each other. I am Muhammad Rasulullah. She said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa annaka Muhammad Rasulullah. That's it. I know your character. I've been living with you. I've never experienced a lie on you. And Musa, the same thing. Yes, he wasn't a prophet before that, but prophets and messengers then came sins before and after prophecy. That's why they're infallibles, sinless. And that's part of our aqidah. Prophets and messengers are sinless before and after prophecy. Before and after prophecy. That doesn't mean they don't do anything wrong. Musa alayhi salam pushed someone. He killed him. He didn't intend to kill him. That's a mistake. Adam alayhi salam ate from the tree when Allah told him not to eat from it. It was a mistake. Because they thought that's going to get him closer to Allah. Prophets and messengers make mistakes. What's a mistake? A mistake is when you do something not knowing it disobeys Allah. A sin, you do something knowing that it disobeys Allah. Full intent and full practice. So Musa alayhi salam leaves his wife and his family as a husband, a father. Comes back, prophet and messenger of Allah. Now we have to go to Fir'aun. So Musa alayhi salam returns back to Egypt to meet with his mother and his brothers and sisters. But that's not the main mission. Yes, it used to be the main thing. It used to be the main agenda item for him. It used to be the main reason that why he's going back to Egypt. But now, I'm going to save Bani Israel because this is the command of Allah. So I'm going to go back to the one that I was running away from. What happens? We'll talk about it next week. Subhanakallah, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik.
Some dreams to be up in Jannah. It pies person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah.